Good morning, church. It's good to be back again. How you like these two hymn that I chosen for you? It's always nice. I remember the first hymn that how great is thou art. It's a song that has been sung over and over again during and before the delivery of my two kids, and it has always been stuck on our head. And every time, it's such a joy to sing this all this hymn again. And to listen to people from other nations singing that to worship God, that was God's desire, and that is what is RCC about, and that's what we are doing today, and that's why you have every Sunday after Sundays you have you come and hear, listen to messages, you come and sing song, you come and join the service. That's what we are here for. We are here because there's a mission. The church exists because there's a mission. Now today we're going to go back to John. We'll carry on with the verse. We're going to go into verse 6 of chapter 1 of John. But before we go into it, I just want to ask you, have you ever been shopping? What a stupid question, right? Everybody went shopping. But what I'm trying to get is that, have you ever come to a time where you go shopping and you can't decide what to buy, and you can't decide what to pick, which to pick? Well, why are we so indecisive? I find that I'm very indecisive when I come to shopping. All right, I need a list. I need a list, a specific list to help me. My wife, my children know that. If I go for shopping, give me a list. I go there, grab the thing and get out. If I go there without a list, what I will do, I will just shop around and look at a product and I just can't decide. Why? There are two scenarios for me. One is that not enough information for me to process. I do not know the product. I might like the product. It look cute. It look curious. What is it about? But I got no idea. I asked the shop and then nobody knows about it. Then I will probably not buy it. Or sometimes I might take the risk to buy it, but it's indecisive. But the other scenario is that you got too much information. Too much products. Same product. Wow, which one to buy? Which is cheaper? This is cheaper by 1 cent, but the other one looks better. So it becomes a problem for us. We are so indecisive in a lot of ways. Even in choosing, not just go shopping, in choosing a lot of things, like choosing a partner, choosing a career, choosing whether you want a boy or a girl for a baby, you can't choose that. But in some countries, they do choose that. Right? But now, the point is, why are we so indecisive? From what I think, we have this thing. We have fear in us. We have fear of what? Well, we fear. We fear because we might pick the wrong one. Because we might pick what if there's a better one out there? Or what if I like the blue one? This is fear that we have, church. It's a similar thing that we have. What causes this was because there's something in us that we always feel that it's not good enough. I remember when quite a while ago, I went shopping for a shaver. That shaver took me almost about a few days to get it. Until I come by one shop and there was like 70% discount. So I went in and the whole shop was filled with shavers. You name it, everything to do with shaving. And there were so many products there on discount. This is better, that is better. So I was hanging around in the shop and I was looking around. The assistant came and said, how can I help you? I said, I don't know what to pick. This is cheaper or that is better. And she came and said, she came and introduced each product patiently to me. And until I come to one, they're quite interested, the price was right. So I asked her, I said, how do I know that this is good for me? She said, I know. I said, how do you know? Have you ever used this before? I meant it as a joke. She was a female shop assistant. So I don't expect her to say yes. But surprisingly, she said, yes, I did it. I use it. Wow. How did you use it? Oh, because every time we have a new product, our company requires us to use it, to test it, to go home and learn about it so that you can sell the products. So, church, why I give you this illustration? This illustration tells me that the reason that day I bought that shaver. Why? The price is a bit dearer, but because someone shared the testimony of her as a female using a shaver to shave whatever place that she wants to shave. Not going to tell you that. But the point is, someone give me a testimony of that shaver. It all totally took my fear away, and I bought it. And guess what? And she said, the moment she said, if you don't like it, 30 days money get back guarantee. Amen to Australia, isn't it? We are living in a country, you got consumer rights. We're protected. You can, if you don't like it, bring it back. I'll give you a refund, or you can pick another one. Now, church, this is what we, this is similar to what John is trying to do. But of course, John is not going to give you a 30 days money guarantee. He's going to give you a lifelong guarantee. All right? Similar, John, what John is trying, John Gospel here is trying to tell us, it's only one thing, so that you may believe, so that you can hear. He's trying to give you an eyewitness. He was the eyewitness. He is going to give you that his experience with Christ, with Jesus, and so that we too may have that experience. Do you like that? So he wanted to assist us. The whole purpose of this book, when you read it, is to assist us to overcome that fear of following Jesus. Overcome that fear of choosing Jesus. Overcome the fear of standing with Jesus or allowing Jesus to take over your life. That's the whole purpose of it. We think about getting a product is hard. But church, it's even tougher when you get into a relationship. I'm not going to tell you everything is good here. All right? I'm not going to tell you that the relationship with Jesus is going to be easy. It's always love. It's always the best. Look, it is. But there's also hard time as well. When you are at your weakest point, your lowest point, do you still trust Jesus? That is a test. That is a training for us. So the relationship with Jesus is not going to be easy. What is a relationship? Why is it not going to be, why is it not easy? Because in any relationship, you feel hurt. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to hurt you, but we will hurt Jesus many of the time. It's just that you got a relationship, you come to the church, you are in there because of this relationship with Christ, you got a bigger family to handle. That is relationship. Relationship is vulnerable to hurt. Relationship is high maintenance. You got to maintain love. You got to maintain forgiveness. You got to maintain justice. You got to maintain a lot more, a lot of things to maintain. Even husband and wife got to maintain it. The moment that you decided to give up this relationship and you decided not to maintain it and you refuse to accept the fact that you're vulnerable to hurt each other, then you're asking for a broken relationship. God has given us a relationship to maintain it. We're supposed to patch it up. You got bad days, fine. You quarrel, fine. You slap each other, fine. Tomorrow when you come back, let's have dinner again. That's what happened in my family. We don't slap each other, all right? But church, the relationship is not, the relationship with anyone else might have a lot of problem. But John wants us to get into a relationship with God. This relationship is unlike any relationship on earth that we're going to have. This relationship comes with love. This is the kind of love. We're not talking about, honey, I love you, that kind of love. We're talking about a love that God promised that he will love you forever. I don't believe anyone on earth, if they come and tell me and say, Jimmy, I love you forever. There's no such thing as ever. Only God has eternity. We have no ever. I will love you to the best I can in my lifetime on earth. That's all I can promise you. But God's love is different. It comes with a promise that he will never forsake us. It comes with assurance. And then furthermore, it comes with evidence, witness, that is the Holy Spirit. Isn't this what we are doing right now? I heard that our year's vision was that depending on the Spirit. You need this Holy Spirit stamp in you. You need this Holy Spirit to witness that you are a child of God. So that is the kind of relationship. The relationship between two persons can only be stamped by the action they've done. In this case, God has action on it. He sent the Holy Spirit to stamp on our relationship. How good is that? That is a relationship that no one can compete with. So this morning we come to the witness that give this relationship. So in a nutshell, what this morning's scripture talks about is three things. One, it reveals the light. Who is the light? You know, last week we talked about the first five verses, practically is talk about Jesus. It reveals that this light is Jesus. And then the other two things, that because of this revelation of Jesus as the light, I give you two options. There's only two reactions. There's no three, no four. Only two reactions to it. And John was trying to say, look, Jesus is the light. Then there's only two rejections. Either you receive him or you reject him. So we're going to go into the details of this. What is John? Why is John putting all this thing? So he was trying to give this in a poetic way. If you read John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18, he was actually writing this, written this in a poetic way, but somehow something different changed today, this morning. I'll tell you later. But basically, the first 18 verses, when you read John, it's an intro. It's an introduction to the whole entire gospel. What the author was trying to say, he was trying to give run through the whole gospel with you in just the 18 verses. And within that 18 verses, what he's trying to say is that this is what I want to convince you of. So in that 18 verses, so it set a stage for the rest of the 19 chapters or 20 chapters. Set the stage of for the rest of the gospel so that when you come to the end result, what he's trying to get at is that this is what I want you to know. You get it? So when you read the book, what he's trying to do is that the first 18 verses is trying to convince you. He asks you, trying to convince you of the what is coming. But later on, the result, he expects you to believe. All right? So what John is trying to do, it is from the beginning was the Word. So he has, right from the beginning, the first five verses, the words that he used, the phrase that he's used, the way that he put it, and he said that in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, the Word was with God in the beginning, and he created everything, and he's the life, and the light shine into darkness, but the darkness does not. Understood. So you get what I mean. He was trying that Jesus is the Word, Jesus is the God, Jesus is with God, Jesus is the Maker, Jesus is the life, and this life is the light of man. But man cannot accept it, man doesn't know it, man can't react because you see the holiness of God. So what John was, when he come into this, and all of a sudden, we hit a hum here, when he said, and all of a sudden he just come down and said, all right, you meet the Holy Maker, and you stumble. But you know what? There came a man who was John. You get it? Somehow you come into it. Some scholar even say that, you know, with this verse 6 to verse 8, you can actually rip it off and you still can carry on with that poet. The poet just runs smoothly without this three. But when I look at it, I say, no, it's wrong. It's the Bible. You can't take off anything. Everything that is there is supposed to be there. So John has a purpose. From my perspective, John has a purpose of putting in this thing here. All right, what are the two things? First of all, you need to know what is this John. I mentioned it before. There are only two Johns that appear in the whole Gospel of John. All right, he's not the author. This John here is not the author. All right, he is John the Baptizer. Or people call it John the Baptist. And most of the time, people misunderstood John the Baptist from the Baptist churches. Wrong. All right? John the Baptizer. He is the baptizer. He go around baptizing people and ask people to come into the kingdom of God. Repent and come into the kingdom of God. That's who it is. But I'm not going to give you too much detail because later on, we're going to talk about him. And then this John the Baptizer, he was a very popular man. Most Jews know him. He was famous during Jesus' time, before Jesus' time, even after Jesus' time. He was still being recognized as someone who is really important. But like I say, I'll give you more details when you come there. But there's two reasons why John put him there. Why the author John put him there. The author, if you want to know that this is not the author always referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. All right? He always referred to him. He never put himself in there. So this John is John the Baptist. And there were two reasons they put him there. First, he was setting a stage for his entering the scene. He's going to ask him to be a witness. All right. Secondly, he has a high credential. Why? Because if you want to ask someone to witness to say, to prove that what you say is right, you better get someone with reputation, someone who everybody knows, someone with high credential, someone who is reliable source, isn't it? So for this case, John the Baptist was chosen. So that's why, when after the beautiful poetic description of Christ, of Jesus, as the God, the Maker, the Life, the Light of Life, and then he comes and says, you know John? John witnessed to this light. John came. Remember? Do you know him? Remember him? He baptized you, remember? All right? He came as a witness to testify this light that I'm talking about. Right? He's testified that Jesus is the light. Jesus, that means Jesus is the maker, Jesus is the God. He came as the light. But he himself is not the light. Alright? He is not the savior that you were thinking about. Remember the last time when he baptized you, you thought he was the Messiah. He was here to save you. No. He said that he is not the light. He came here to witness the light. He came here to tell you that Jesus is indeed the illuminator of your life. He is the light of your life. So you have to go to him. But we will talk about details about this. Now when we come into here, this is the first thing that the revelation has given us. John as a witness, to witness to this light. So this light came on as a revelation that Jesus is the light. He is the true light. So with this true light, with John going around giving that witness, I'm meaning John the Baptist, who is baptizing people. He's doing exactly, he was not the light, but he is the reflector of that true light. So when we come to that, pull out this testimony to reveal who that light is. Then he comes, step into a reaction. Now that, he said, brother, whoa, you have only two choices. The first choice is rejection. As you can see in verse 9, the true light came, the world realized that there's a world there, it put a world. The world in original Greek text, it means universe, it means cosmos. All right, we know all this, all right, universe. So Jesus, as the creator, as the maker, stepped into his creation, come into this world, but the world did not recognize him. The world do not receive him. That's what it's talking about. The creator come into a creation, and the creation does not recognize the creator. How ironic, isn't it? But there's one thing here. It changed the whole picture of this verse, this part of the verse. Realize there is every man and his own. John by every man and his own to this world. Now it totally changed the whole game of the view, that give a new perspective of the world that Jesus is talking about, of what John was talking about. He was talking about, look, when John was talking about this world, even though it means cosmos, it doesn't mean that you're talking about the plants, the dog, the cats, the star. No. It drilled down, it relate this world, connect this world to every person and his own people, God's own people. So in other words, this world, if you look at the context, it means family. It means God is trying to say that this light, this true light who came and give, he give lights to every man. He will consider you. He consider you as his own family. He consider you mean the whole world to him. That's what he's trying to mean. That's what the light came here to. It gives light to every man coming into the world. That means he sees you. God sees us. God's desire for us is to be for us, to be in his family. Be his child. But the sad thing here is, the world don't recognize it. The family. He come into his own family. He come into this family. Want to be a family. Be your father. But the family doesn't recognize him. The family did not receive him. Now, there are two things here. The first one is that the world did not recognize. That is talking about every other man, every other non-Jews. So what happened is that, God come here, the non-Jews can't recognize. Why can't recognize? You're going to ask. Why can't recognize? Because they don't know there's a father. They didn't know. They never heard about the God. No one ever tell them about it. That's why they did not recognize him. But the other part is that his own did not receive him. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Jew. The Jew was the chosen Israelite, the chosen people of God. They know everything about God. They got the scripture, they got the Old Testament, they got the prophet, they got everything. They got the word of God. But in the end, they reject Jesus. They reject Jesus, they put him on the cross, crucified him. Did not receive him. Now, by the way, receive here, if you when you read John, receive and believe, the two words are interchangeable. It means the same thing, all right? They did not believe who he was. They did not believe Father. It is a very sad story, church. When I read this part, it's a very sad story. It's a very sad story of God's family. Why? Can you imagine children running around the street? Never heard about. No one ever tell them there's a father. No one ever tell them they were born. They have a father that is looking for them. Can you imagine that? These children didn't know because no one ever told. The situation that we are in right now, I know last week we have been upgraded to stage 4, and not many people are happy about it. Yeah, I'm not happy about it because with the curfew after 8 o'clock, you can't go out. I can't even go to petrol shop. I can't go out for a drive. You know, all I can do is to right now walk in my garden. But anyway, the point is, you got a father that's looking for you, but no one knows. Many people left this world without hearing who is Jesus, without ever hearing the gospel. I don't know how many people who pass has at least heard the gospel once. And then on the other side, on the other hand, it's so sad to hear God's children. They were the one who know God. They grew up in God's family. You probably grew up in church your whole life. People like this, when the gospel was shared, they heard the gospel 2 million times. But in the end, they chose to reject. They chose not to follow. So church, there are scenario here. This is a part where it's a very sad story of that rejection of the light. That's what John was trying to prove. God see you as a family. Don't reject him. This is not an easy task. That's what he sent in John the Baptist. John the Baptist to witness to that light. We are just the same as John the Baptist. We are supposed to reflect that light in us. It is our mission and our responsibility to make sure, to ensure you every power that we have. Any person, every single person that come into touch with you, make sure you make a point. Draw them to the light. Attract them to the light. Force them to the light. And help them to stay in the light. That's what we are doing here. That's our mission, church. Now the other part, the very final part is the receive part. The receive of this light. This is the highlight. This is the ideal, of course. But again, like I said, this is the Gospel of John is to help you to believe, is to help you to make a choice, is to hopefully reduce that fear. Now, sometimes when we choose something, if the information is over too much information, you're overwhelmed, you don't know what to choose. All right? Too lack of information, you can't process the thing, right? But when you read the Bible, my experience with the Bible is that Bible is just nice. I thank God that, you know, God is just a fantastic, amazing God. Why? Because when you read the Bible, it's never too much. It's never too less. All right? If you feel that the Bible 66 book that is so thick, when you read the Bible, it's, wow, so much things to read. I tell you, all the information in there is not even enough to describe who God is. But the information inside is enough to introduce you to the salvation of God. That is a huge difference. Because God knows, all you need to know is how I love you, how I save you. Who am I? That's all you need to know. The rest, leave it to him. Now we'll come to the part, you see receive and believe again, come out again, interchange with each other. All right? But those people who believe and receive in Jesus' name, they were given the right to become children of God. Now, I just want you to pause here and see here. Now, notice there is a right here. You don't ask, oh, what right have you got? Many people talk about human rights. Talk about a lot of rights they're talking about. People are going to rally today. I'm not sure whether how many are going to get arrested today. But some people are talking about they're having a rally because of the anti-mask thing. All right? Because of what? Human rights. All right? Some people say, look, it's not about human rights. It's about human life. We talk about right as if like we have take for granted. But the right here is talking about is God's right. The right here is talking about is power. It's the privilege that was given. Now, notice another word. It was given, not earned. This right was practically given to us as a gift the moment we believe in Jesus. It was given to us by God's grace. And when we believe, this gift was presented to you. No question asked. So it's not a merit of us. It's not because of what we have done. But the only thing that you ever done is belief, is to receive. Then you were given this right. And what are these rights? What are we doing? The right of, you have the right of unlimited access. How do you like that? Unlimited access. You go to gym, there's no unlimited access though. But this, when you receive, receive Jesus, you were given this right to have unlimited access to God, everything about God. You can pray to Him, you can read the Bible, you can read His Word, you can go to the church, you can serve Him, you can go on a mission. There's many more. Up to you to find out. But you were given this. You see, this right is not for us to take it for granted. This right was given to us as a gift, so you need to precious that gift as a child of God. What we have come to, this gift was not our merits, was not what we have done. The only thing that we ever done was sin. Because of our sin, we put Jesus on the cross. Because it is the reason that we received this right was because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He became the judge, being judged. Have you ever heard about that? A judge being judged? He took that cross voluntarily because of us. So church, today when we come to the end of the message, I just want you to ask, what does today's message mean to you? Are you hearing what God's heart beat this morning? Do you see that Jesus has already done what He needs to do for us? And Jesus wants to shine into your life and make you a child of God and give you that right, give you that power, that privilege? Do you believe Jesus can do that? Can you really believe and follow Him? That's what's saying, your decision today determines your destiny. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your words. We thank You that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, into our life, into this world, so that we may see the light, so that we will no longer live in darkness. Father, I just pray for people who are still deciding to make that decision to follow Jesus. And Father, I just ask that Your Spirit will touch in each and every one of them, and touch each and every disciples who are still following You to continue to stay strong, and knowing that there are many people around us that have not heard Your gospel and they need this gospel before they leave the world. And Father, I just pray that Your Spirit will move us and touch us in every aspect of our life, and we'll continue to serve You and continue to know You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, church, there's another song, the final song for today. And hope that you like it.